This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
With us every Monday and Friday, covering the team on our behalf, is Ben Standig from The Athletic. He's got his own podcast, Last Man Standig, and you can follow him on X on Twitter, at Ben Standig. Before we get to catching up with everything that's happened since we talked on Friday, what do you think the signing of both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins means in Cincinnati as it relates to Trey Hendrickson?
If I had to pick a side, I'd probably lean towards it's a step towards re-signing Trey Hendrickson, that now that those deals are done, they can, you know, play with the salary cap as needed to figure out a way to get it all done. I mean, I guess it's just like, teams have decisions, you know, who you're going to keep, how much money you want to spend, whatever. But the fact that, you know, Joe Burrow kind of pressed ownership into getting the T. Higgins part of this done along with Chase is one thing. I think that really did lead to this getting done because, I don't know that the T. Higgins is on that team otherwise still just because it's a lot of money at one spot. But, just scoring is not enough. You got to be able to stop the ball. We saw last year how they couldn't. So I just don't see how you're planning to try to win, spending all that money at receiver and plus Joe Burrow's contract, and then giving up your best defensive player, even if they got back a fair compensation in draft picks. Like, that's not helping them now. So if I had to guess, I'd guess they'd find a way to get it done. But, you know, we'll see. The Bengals are, you know, notoriously, a cheaper organization, to say. And, there's a lot of money to spend on Hendrickson plus those guys. So maybe not, but if I had to guess, I would guess they figure out a way to get it done.
All right, we'll come back to, you know, edge, pass rusher, and if Hendrickson were to stay in Cincinnati, where does Washington turn? Just if you can do this, since we spoke on Friday, there was activity over the weekend with players being re-signed and one player leaving. If you can just catch everybody up to speed as to where we are on roster adds and roster losses.
Defensive end was activity there. The defensive line, Cleveland Farrell, Jalen Holmes, Stang, two guys that were, just part of the depth last year. I thought Holmes did some good work playing inside and outside. Farrell started, two sacks in the first two games, and then it just kind of, that was the highlight. Clearly, nagging injuries, you never got too far after that, but just more depth at that spot to help that room potentially. Dante Fowler, meanwhile, leaves, signs with Dallas. It's on the surface. We've talked about this. Like, it seems weird. You wouldn't want to bring back a guy who got 10.5 sacks last year, was very productive in that regard. But his issues against the run, or he just at least wasn't a particularly strong run defender, I think really showed up in the NFC Championship game. He was involved in that very first Saquon Barkley play where Barkley goes 60 yards or so all the way for a score, and then Fowler ends up playing less than 30% of the snaps, which was a season low for him. So it seemed apparent that Washington was, you know, maybe they're willing to bring him back for not much. He did, what was his tweet the other day before free agency started, basically that he was getting tired of being disrespected.
Yeah.
Felt very much like, you know, but might be talking about Washington. It sounds like a loss, and I'm not saying it's not, but I think Washington's plan overall here is, okay, they got to start getting better. It's not just enough to have decent players. They got to fix certain spots, you know, and clearly they've made some moves, including like signing Javon Kinlaw to address that. Then on the other side, I think that the Nate Herbig signing was this weekend,
that happened,
right?
Over the weekend. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, so basically, you know, a guy who's a veteran guard, he started in this league, he's played center as well. Injuries kept him sidelined last year. But look, they obviously, as we know, with Sam Cosmi likely to miss at least some games to start the season because of his ACL surgery, they need some more bodies there. We've already speculated that Andrew Wiley, particularly, you know, after the Laremy Tunsil trade, could end up being that guy. He played guard in Kansas City, and if Brandon Coleman's at right tackle, then maybe Wiley slides in, and maybe he still does, but now they have another guy who could do it more, you know, who's played the position more recently. So you would think on some level, you know, Herbig is part of the replace Cosmi competition, and Wiley is sort of there with him, but maybe he's also there in case Brandon Coleman, for whatever the reason, isn't a smooth fit at right tackle. He could go in there. So, you know, I think, you know, more depth, you know, they needed to get some different bodies for their backup offensive linemen. And now they have a guy who's, you know, had some success, has started, and maybe at this point, maybe the front runner to be that Cosmi replacement.
You know, his brother, Nick Herbig, who was playing linebacker and playing really well for the Steelers last year early in the season, he was, like, considered to be a big injury miss and loss in their game against Washington, and then came back, I think, maybe after the Washington game and played pretty well. So back to, you know, let's just focus on the defense today. Because the bottom line is, you know, they've kept a lot of their own. They've added a few from outside, you know, Kinlaw and Goldman and Wise and Jones and Harris. But at this point, how much better on paper do you think the defense is, if at all?
Well, I think it's if it's better, and it would be in sort of incremental ways that maybe not show as obviously until we see them on the field together, right? I mean, look, clearly the run defense was a huge problem last year, right? We already know that. The secondary, the pass coverage issues, you know, let's just say Marshon Lattimore improves, that would go a long way towards helping there. But the run defense, you know, they just gave up tons of yards, as we know, on the edge before contact. And, you know, Saquon Barkley exploited them in every single game they played. But there isn't like one signing where you're like, oh, wow, okay, that's definitely going to fix that. I mean, Javon Kinlaw would be sort of the most obvious one to point to in that regard. But, you know, if he's playing defensive tackle, you know, they already have Payne and Johnny Newton. So what are we talking about here as a guy coming off the bench? Okay, that's important, but that's not like the fix. Now, he maybe is going to end up playing more on that edge,
right,
perhaps in rundowns, and maybe they think that's the fix. But, you know, I think we've all sort of questioned that signing, at least in terms of the money, the contract terms. We'll see about the fit. I've never, you know, I don't think he was previously viewed as like a Dave Butts run stopping type. But okay, I guess I understand what they're thinking with his big body. A guy like a Dietrich Wise, you know, he's a guy that can get sacks. He's not probably going to do what say Fowler did last year, but he's also more likely to be a better all-around defensive lineman, right? So I think it's things like that where it's like nothing is like, wow, that move definitely right there fixes the problem or helps them address it. It's more subtle in that regard. And, you know, I think that's where it's hard to say that they've improved, like, wow, look at this group. But let me see them on the field in Joe Witt Jr.'s system, how they plan to use these guys, and then I would feel a bit better, particularly up front. I think against the run, at least, I think that to me is how I would see it. And then hopefully, obviously, there's a trickle-down effect if they're more stable up front, and that helps Bobby Wagner, that helps who's, the strong safety, et cetera, do what they do. But like I said, it's more of an incremental thing, and for me, at least, I'm going to have to see what that looks like on the field before I say, oh, okay, cool, they definitely have upgraded.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any clue, and I think most listening don't either, as to whether or not how they feel. And Trey Hendrickson, if they were to have gotten him, or if Myles Garrett actually had been available, who knows, and we'd have a totally different view. But they may feel just year two in the system is a big deal. But when you look at it from our standpoint, from our position, they've essentially added only one player that you can pencil in as a starter. I mean, they're bringing back Bobby Wagner. That's a big deal. I'm not minimizing it. It's a one-year deal, but it's a big deal that they're bringing him back. But I think Will Harris is the only player that they have signed defensively that you would say, well, he's probably going to be a starting safety next to Quan Martin. I mean, Kinlaw is going to be a part of a rotation. Jonathan Jones may be a part of a rotation. He might be a starter, but that's basically it. And what I think most of us had agreed on when the season ended, this was the side of the ball they needed to improve on.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember, I can't remember who I was talking to, but on my podcast at one point, I think it was my buddy Dalton Ross, who's a Commanders fan. He writes for Entertainment Weekly. He was saying, it's funny, we talk about this defense, and we say individually, we look at the different players, and we, boy, Wagner had...
Yeah,
a good year. I mean, maybe you and I talked about this too. This guy had a good year, et cetera. But then in totality, you're like, wait a minute, they get run over all the time. What do we make of it? Then of course, Lattimore's issue is, as highlighted again in the two playoff in games against Tampa and Philly. What's going on there? So it's tricky in that regard, and that's, I think you're right. I mean, look, even with the Will Harris thing, is that an upgrade over Jeremy Chinn? I mean, Jeremy Chinn was pretty good as the season went along. And, if you just look in terms of the contracts, doesn't mean this is how it'll play out, but Jeremy Chinn's deal was more notable than Will Harris's deal. So that suggests that the marketplace wanted Jeremy Chinn more than Will Harris. So, it's hard to say that, like, on paper, that this has been an improvement. Now, obviously, I think, like a thing like Johnny Newton playing, right? He obviously, his whole offseason last year was messed up because of the having a foot surgery on both feet. So does Johnny Newton come in this year with a full offseason, and does he look like a transformed player? Maybe. That's what we're talking about, right? Can they get a player or two on defense to shift things around? Maybe they're banking on that happening. But, again, to be fair, he's replacing Jonathan Allen, who, I'm not saying Jonathan Allen was the best defensive player last year, but obviously he's been very good for this team for his career. So, we're saying Newton's going to be bigger impact than a guy that was a two-time Pro Bowler, particularly, Allen was on the field the first five-plus weeks before the injury. So, yeah, it's confusing. Now, again, obviously we haven't gotten to the draft, and maybe that's where they bank on getting more impact. But yeah, I mean, it feels like they're bringing the band back together, and the band was off key for a good chunk of their performances last year. So it is confusing, and yet it's like, well, I kind of get the guys they brought back, but yeah, it's a little confusing. And by the way, like the defensive line, you could look at it right now. They've got 11 guys who you could say would make this team. Like, it's not like, yeah. I mean, they're all solid, but is that enough to improve? I mean, that is the real question.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if it doesn't change personnel-wise significantly between now and opening day, I think most people, and I would put myself into that group, would say, biggest concerns stopping the run. Defense again. To your point, we talked about it all season long. They've got good players. There's like a disconnect with their inability to get teams off the field, their inability to stop the run. And Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner and Daron Payne and John Allen and Johnny Newton and Dorrance Armstrong and Quan Martin and Jeremy Chinn. But for whatever reason, it didn't work. And maybe they view the players in a similar way. And maybe it's the scheme, or maybe it's just year two. They're expecting a big jump. Defense is very variable, you know, year to year in terms of performance. So perhaps they're more confident in, you know, it's not stopped them from thinking about people like Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson. But in terms of the players they brought back, you know, a lot of those one-year deals, the Sheldon Days and the Jalen Holmeses and the, you know, and what they believe that maybe they'll make a big jump and it'll be different. Defense often changes year to year a lot. Maybe they're due to be better on defense next year. Maybe that's the strategy.
I mean, we saw that in the Rivera era. There were years where that group was, you know, ranked top 10.
22? 22, they were number 9 in the NFL in DVOA defense. They were an excellent defense. That's why they were in the mix for a playoff spot late in the year.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, for sure. And I think, like, you know, to compare those two teams, I think, you know, Daron Payne, I think so much of this to me, you know, we don't talk about him a lot because, you know, of the two defensive tackles, he was always the quieter one. You know, when they had the four defensive linemen together, he was always the one who was like, you know, okay, he's more run stopper than pass rusher. That's far less sexy, whatever. But like, for, you know, he's got to improve. I mean, like, they have not gotten nearly enough out of him. Obviously, I'm talking organizationally. Peters and Quinn didn't sign him, but you know, they haven't gotten enough out of him since the extension. If he's able to get back to that 2022 form when he, you know, blew up with his sack total and was just a defensive presence, that can shift everything. Like, you know, the Laremy Tunsil signing, it's not just that he's able to potentially, you know, give Jaden Daniels a tremendous blindside pass protector. It shifts the entire line of in the offense as to what they can do, because they can, you know, they don't have to send help to him, and it's going to make everything else, you know, a little bit easier for the other guys. Well, the same thing would happen here. If Daron Payne went back to that form, something, you know, I'm not saying he has to get 11 sacks again, but, you know, be much more of a disruptor than we've noticed the last couple of years, that by itself could change a lot. But it's to the fact that we don't even discuss it. You and I just had this conversation, and we're not going, well, Daron Payne, you know, why not? Well, that's the problem. He needs to, they need him to get back to something, to the form where he really is considered one of the premier disruptors in the league up the middle. But we haven't seen that, so we're almost like kind of moving on like it's not going to happen. So that may be the biggest thing they can hope for.
You know, that and the emergence of Johnny Newton as a more consistent force in year two with, as you said, a healthy offseason, which he did not have coming into his rookie year. But, you know, for those of you that I get it. You know, he had his best season in a contract year. He's 27 years old. These are his prime years. He's not past his prime. John came into the league a little bit older than Duran. Duran's 27 years old. He is capable athletically of being a very high-level interior defensive tackle. And you're right. He's got to step up, and he's got to be a more consistent player week in and week out, even though I would suggest that's not necessarily where they had their problems against the run. They had those issues more, you know, outside the tackle than they did inside the tackles, which is one of the reasons they moved him at one point to try to play the edge a little bit. But yeah, getting Daron Payne and Johnny Newton, and then hopefully what they're expecting out of Kinlaw could be huge for them defensively. I was just looking before the show started just at various things, and obviously over the last week, the additions from their own free agent pool have been significant. But they haven't, they chose not, well, I think they liked him and wanted him, but Zacchaeus moved on. I'm thinking Crowder's a possibility now for this reason. Tell me what you're thinking. And I know you don't have to have an answer to this today. I mean, that answer could come in the draft. That answer could come off last year's, you know, some of the guys that they may have signed to undrafted free agent contracts a year ago, whatever. But they don't have a punt returner on their roster. Crowder was their punt returner. Is Crowder still a possibility, do you think?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, he's the kind of guy, like my thought going before free agency started was, he's the pull in case of emergency guy should De'Ami Brown, Zacchaeus, Noah Brown, like should that trio not return or only one of them, as the case it was Noah Brown, and he's the one that, you know, you definitely wouldn't put in that a returner type role. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't think he's going to be like, I don't think other teams are probably clamoring to say, hey, we got to bring in Jamison Crowder. He'll probably be there, if I had to guess, post-draft if needed. But, yeah I mean, look, he's obviously, you know, we're not talking about the flashiest of guys, but always, I never think to myself, boy, get this guy off the field, whether it's a receiver. And look, he was better at returner this time than he was the first time he was here, where the fumbles seemed to be problematic. He was cleaner last year. Zacchaeus was probably the one who had more issues in that regard than Crowder. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility. And, you know, that's one spot right now where, like I said before, like they've got 11 defensive linemen. If they do nothing else, they can field a rotation of guys who, you know, played last year in the league. They only have, in my view, like four receivers right now. I mean, I know K.J. Osborne's around, and he's been a productive guy in this league, but based on what we saw here last year, plus his time with New England last year, you know,
Luke Debo, Terry, and Noah Brown.
Right. So there's at least two spots open based on, like, just keeping six. They had seven at times last year. So, yeah, I think Crowder makes a lot of sense, but my guess is that they feel like, you know, they have a sense of his market, that he, you know, what he is or what he isn't, and that they can go back to that at some point. So, yeah, I wouldn't be stunned at all if Crowder's back.
So when you get around to whatever next mock, I don't even know what version it'll be of the draft. Now, if Trey Hendrickson ends up remaining in Cincinnati, is it even money or slightly longer odds that Washington takes a defensive end slash edge at 29?
Yeah, I talked about this on my latest podcast episode, which should be up some point today, in that, okay, so you look now at the board, like in terms of their needs, if we're going that route, yes. I mean, they need to get some sort of young upside presence at defensive end kind of regardless, right? I mean, Trey Henderson's an immediate impact, but he's 31. They don't have anybody on the perimeter that you feel like is going to be here for a few years and has some potential. So there's that. I think cornerback is the other spot where, look, Jonathan Jones is a one-year deal. We'll see where Lattimore is at. If he doesn't respond, he may not be here in 26. So, and they still just need pure depth there. So that's another one. And then like that general offensive playmaker, whether it's receiver, running back, speed, like those are the three spots to me that still kind of stand out. But defensive end is the most immediate impact. So the answer to your question is yes. Now, this is the part where it's obviously a bit subjective. You look at the board, you try to play this out, starting with Abdul Carter, who might be going off the board number one or number two in the draft. Go down from there. I think there's like five or six edge rush types who could go, and it kind of feels like they all might go before pick 29. And then when you look at the options, sort of the next tier after that, like if you're basing it off of mock drafts and rankings, I don't know that there's like an obvious name there. I've talked before about a guy like Nick Skaraton from Texas A&M who, when he was at Purdue as a sophomore, he led the Big Ten in sacks last year. He bulked up with A&M and his numbers fell off a bit, but still considered to be a productive player. He's now slimmed down from like 280 into like the 250s. But I don't see too many mock drafts saying, hey, he's a guy going late first, you know, somewhere in the second, but not necessarily late first. So that becomes now the need versus best player available type deal. So I think that's the question for me at the moment, is just what's there. But if you said without knowing the board, yes, I would say defensive end's got to be somewhere close, like you said, like even money. I know Adam Peters would never say, hey, we're going into this, we have to get position X. And again, that's why you get 11 defensive linemen and a bunch of ends, so you don't have to feel like you have to do anything. But they need something more explosive at that spot. So, yes, to me, that would be the odds-on favorite. And then, again, it just comes down to, like the Johnny Newton situation last year, do they think the best player at some position that they maybe need some help at is that, or, you know, is a cornerback slash offensive playmaker the best player available at that time?
I think the interesting thing, too, about this draft, as I'm starting to pay attention to it a little bit more, is edge, it's deep, and interior D lineman, it's deep. And there are going to be a bunch of both that go in the first round. And I know they took Johnny Newton last year in the second round, and that their biggest money spend on defense and free agency was Javon Kinlaw. But we've already seen Adam Peters will go best available. He did it with Newton last year. And it's possible that in terms of D linemen, an interior D lineman may be the best player on the board when they pick at 29. So, yeah, all those things are going to be interesting to watch. All right, what else? What'd you think of the tournament bracket?
It's so fun watching everybody get upset about the bracket. Every year it's the exact same story. It's just a different specific topic, but it's always hilarious that that's the case. You're the Maryland insider here, so I'm definitely curious what you think. But it sounds like, am I right? Is Grand Canyon like an online university, or what's the deal with them?
They can't be an online university. It's in Phoenix. It looks like a commuter school of some sort, right?
Well, I mean, it's not like a normal college, right? Isn't that the deal? Like
the University of Phoenix is online, because I've seen their ads. Right? They used to do commercials all the time on TV.
Is that the one I'm thinking about? Yeah, no, you're correct on that. There's something confusing about Grand Canyon. All I ever knew was that, like, Dan Marley was coaching them for a while.
Drew now.
Right. Yeah, no. But listening to the Seth Davises, whatever, they were all putting Grand Canyon as a team you got to worry about, and sure, why not? So we'll see about that.
It is. You ready? Grand Canyon University, private for profit Christian university in Phoenix, Arizona. They offer degrees in over 200 areas of study. As of September 2023, more than 100,000 students were enrolled online and in person. So,
yeah. So, okay. Well, there.
They had 67,000 undergrad.
Yeah, there was something different than them. It's not that they're not drawing from the same pool of college people. When I went to UMBC, it was viewed more of a commuter school, but that's different than saying,
right. Agreed.
That's a different deal. I don't know. I will say this, I'm not paying much attention to college basketball. My one first round upset, I'm already calling Michigan will lose. They clearly had a good finish at the end. They win the Big Ten tournament, but now they're on the shorter week playing Sunday after they're playing Thursday. They're going in to altitude in Denver. They're going to lose. I call that one now. Michigan's out in the first round.
They're playing UC San Diego, who is a very good defensive team and forces a lot of turnovers. And I can tell you, Michigan turns the ball over a lot. Sounds like a good one. All right. I'll talk to you later in the week. Appreciate it.
Awesome, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Want to mention that Window Nation has a great deal for March Madness. It's buy two, get two free, any style of window, with no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 years. So you can get new windows installed in a day and not pay anything for 2 years until the year 2027. All the while, you'll be saving big on utility bills, air conditioning, heating bills. Imagine what you can do with all that extra money in your pocket. Window Nation sells some of the best windows you can buy at a fraction of the price of the expensive name brands, and often outlast and outperform them too. Plus, they're guaranteed for life. So hurry, this offer ends soon. Don't miss out on your chance to take advantage of Window Nation's March buy two, get two free offer with nothing paid until the year 2027. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name. You'll get a fast, free in-home estimate. They won't pressure you. You're not obligated to anything. It's all I ask. If you've been thinking about new windows, just give Window Nation a shot to give you a free estimate. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.